Today's episode of the Sports Talk Garage podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing you with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you're going to get paid when you include an ad from Podgo. We recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Now, let's get the episode started.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Hey, welcome into season 3, episode 17 of the Sports Talk Garage podcast. This is your host, David, joined by my co-host, Matt. Mike and John are out tonight, but we are going to press on. We've got a lot of college football info to discuss. A few seasons are winding down. Playoffs postseason is on the horizon, and man, a lot of stuff has happened. So let's get that warm-up lap going. How you doing, Matt?
Oh, you know, another great weekend of can't go out and do a whole lot. Thank you, COVID. But, you know, it does give you some family time to sit down and, you know, enjoy those around you that you love. So, you know, hey, doing all right.
Yeah, I can second that. I'm in the quite a busy season work life. Week and a half or so, it'll finally die down. But, man, I'm ready to get there and get to Christmas. So, I agree. It's a little too chilly to get out. And with COVID, can't do a whole lot. But eventually, we will get past that. Before we get started, can you cover that contact information of how people can get in touch with us?
Man, come on. This is usually that, your site segment,
precious,
right?
That precious info from our last session.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see if I can get this right. So we can always be reached at the Sports Garage Pod, Twitter, Facebook. Let's see. You can always check our website, www.sportstalkgarage.com. You can email feedback at sportstalkgarage.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 704-612-0190. We'd love to hear from you. We'd always love to hear what your opinions are, even if they stink. But we'd be happy to bring you online to hear that, and we'll talk about whatever you want to hear us talk about, as long as it's sports-related and not unfamily friendly. David, back to you.
There we go. I love it. Yeah, bring those opinions in. We love to discuss and see what your thoughts are. So let's throw the green flag. This past weekend, we had a game on the line, which had some, I guess, playoff implications here. LSU and Florida, kind of a close game going down to the wire. I expected Florida to be ahead by a lot. But then one of the most idiotic plays of the year happened, which truly turned the tide for not just the game, but also the Florida Gators season. The boneheaded move where a player throws another player's cleat, gets a penalty, puts LSU in field goal range, and loses. What in the world happened here? And is that like the boneheaded move of the year right there?
Well, you certainly just found a way to cost. I mean, this was a tight game, right? Alabama's already beat the pants off of LSU. Coach O decides that, you know, he gets his team all wound up, and if they're going to make a comeback tour, apparently it was going to be against the Gators, who are ranked number 6 and currently have a good viable product to make it into the actual college championship series. If they can beat Alabama during the SEC championship, and you know, it's 2020, anything's possible. I think Trask has been an excellent quarterback. They've got a decent team when they're all healthy. We've kind of said this, you know, since the first couple weeks. But is it the boneheaded move of the year? Yeah, you just kind of cost. I don't care if you're excited. I don't care if you want to be stupid. But no matter how you look at it, the referees don't like it. It's obvious on national television. The fog didn't cover it up. So guess what? You get to cost your entire team the penalty. The question is, what is the penalty he pays?
Shoo. Man, that is...
Shoe, exactly. Cleat, shoe. Shoe, yes.
Cleat. Man, that penalty, that's something that his teammates are not going to let him live down for a long time. Just a quick recap, the cornerback made a tackle on the LSU tight end, and to celebrate, you know, the guy's shoe or cleat came off, and he decided to toss it down the field. Not the brightest idea. I don't know if that was like an in-the-moment thing, like purposely throwing it away, or just like, ah, there's a shoe, let's throw it and celebrate because I tackled him and I'm fired up. Not thinking about the implications of that's going to probably be an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Give them the yards when they're already out on fourth and long. They're not really within field goal range. That completely turns the tide of a game of an LSU team that was like 3-6, 3-5 before that. So, I mean, not nearly what they were the year before. And then Florida goes from possibly jumping into the top four and making it to the playoffs to, you know what, they're going to drop down and not even have a chance after that. Yeah. I wish John were here so he could talk about how mad he is at Florida for losing in such a fashion. Not that they lost, but how they lost. Because I know he's pretty pissed at them right now, being a Gators fan, and probably Mike too, since he, you know, he likes Florida teams. I'm sure both of them are kind of reeling after that.
Well, I'm not going to lie. You know, anybody that has an opportunity to beat Alabama, because they've had a really weird standing in the SEC this year, right? Alabama gets, what, gets beat by Texas A&M, Florida beats Texas A&M, or am I backward?
Oh, Alabama way, hasn't lost yet.
Okay, so basically, if Alabama being perfect, Florida beat Alabama, you know, it's – I think this would have been one heck of an end of the season, the SEC, and it would have made national question for who deserves to be in the championship.
Yeah, well
– especially if you have three teams that are only one loss, you know, kind of as a round robin.
That truly would have made the committee's job a lot more difficult. Now it's like, well, it's pretty obvious why we're not putting one team in. So, yeah.
Right.
Less intrigue.
Right. You have two losses now, you're out. You know, I'm very frustrated because I think that Florida had a chance at it. I think this is something that Florida, again, I would love to have seen them because I'm going to call them a little bit of an underdog. You know, Alabama's always the team to beat. It doesn't matter what's going on. They are the team to beat. And this was something that they had an opportunity to make something great. And you decide to have that one guy that makes one really boneheaded, didn't think that one through, let the excitement of the moment or anger, I don't know if there was an issue with that tight end before that, but whatever it was, you threw – and what did that accomplish? You know, like, you guys are about to win and walk into the SEC championship, and you got, and then what? You decide to throw his cleat before the game's over?
Yeah.
You know, they're not on their red zone. Like, you basically literally cost the game, period, end of story. And it was a great kick. Oh, my goodness, was that beautiful. A bomb. Was it 53?
It was long. It was a long kick. It was beautiful, and got the game for LSU. So 2020 has been a weird year in sports overall, but I would call that boneheaded play of the year because it completely took him out of the championship race. Can you think of any other boneheaded moves in other sports previous years that have maybe cost a team a game or a shot at something like this?
I have a hard time coming up because typically boneheaded moves like this go toward, you know, something that's – well, actually, we had one earlier this year when the Washington football team – I have another name I'd like to call them, but I'm going to refrain. But the Washington football team goes up to play Detroit, and Chase Young made a late hit on Matt Stafford, which led up to another field goal being able to be accomplished to win the game for Detroit. And Detroit arguably has one of the best kickers in the league, top five, holds a record for the longest kick and one of the most consistent records up to this year. But, you know, you're putting him in any kind of range if it's within 60 yards.
Yeah.
And if you watch the play, Chase comes off the end and, you know, we're talking about two teams, you know, Detroit's not really in the hunt. Well, now they are. And Washington is in the hunt because of their defense. But, you know, you came off the edge, and he didn't, like, lambaste Stafford, but he put a hit on him. Hands outstretched, coming off the block, and hit him after he'd released the ball for quite a while. Yeah, you did a boneheaded move that cost you a game.
Yeah. Well, one that I thought of happened about 4 or 5 years ago. Kansas City Chiefs, Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, got a flag in the end zone, and he was unhappy with the ref. So what did he do? He takes his own personal towel to wipe his hands off, throws it at the ref, gets ejected, and they lose the game. Granted, it was a close game at the time, but he was just, I mean, just celebrating, and I guess celebrating a little more than the ref thought was appropriate for the situation, threw his towel at him, and the ref's like, you know what? You're out of here for that. So granted, didn't have, you know, playoff implications on the line, but yeah, lost the game from that. So I thought that was funny. I think one of the more famous incidents of just throwing stuff in a game setting, back in 1985, Indiana Hoosiers coach Bobby Knight picks up that red chair and just chucks it because he is irate at the situation. And I think that clip lives on YouTube in perpetuity. I have no idea how many millions of times it's probably been viewed. I'm sure it's a great teaching moment for people learning in this industry what not to do. But man, Bobby Knight.
You know, I remember when my dad told me he was going to send me to play for Bobby Knight if I kept doing whatever it was that was frustrating to my father. And I mean, there's no, like, not laughing that off, right?
Yeah. Whew. Gosh, Bobby Knight, he was one of a kind. Let's go ahead and transition out of that. So instead of, you know, losing from a boneheaded play, let's just talk about losing in sports. Teams tank. We know, we talk about every year the Jets are kind of tanking for Trevor right now, and there's all these little synonyms or acronyms that people come up with why a team's tanking. If it happens, it happens. But do you think purposeful tanking is okay? Like losing on purpose to get a better draft pick, to get a better situation for yourself long term, for free agents, whatever. Is it okay to purposely lose in sports for the future?
Hey, listen, if I'm not allowed to purposely lose in my fantasy football league and you know, somehow I even when I'm toward the bottom of the list, I still end up with a middle pick in the draft the next year. I don't see where it's okay for them to do it for millions of dollars, but that's the key, right? This is hundreds of millions of dollars in you know, financial awards because you have the quarterback everybody wants to watch, or you know, you pick up a couple major draft picks that automatically upend your offense or defense?
Yeah, so I'm going two different answers. I'm going to say yes and no, and it depends on the situation. If it's high school or college, I think there should be no such thing as tanking. You should just be out there to win. That's your goal. Once you're in the pros, though, it's not – I mean, that's your job. It's your livelihood. I think if you're upfront with your fan base, like, you know what, we're not going to do the best this year. We're going to rest – some older guys, it gives me younger guys some playing experience. We might lose some games, but it's going to set us up long-term for the future. I see no issue with that. Granted, your fans are probably going to hate it because fans never want to lose. But if they know, like, hey, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to draft this guy. There's a plan coming together. I think it's fine at the pro level. Because, I mean, kind of like you said,
I think
money,
you're missing out on Vegas where – that has to play into part of it, too, is sports betting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, throwing games or shaving points or anything, but maybe just going in the sense that we're going to rest some older guys if the game's out of hand. We're not going to try to make that comeback. We're not going to fight if we're too far behind and, like, wait in the game of some type. We'll be okay losing to get some other guys' experience. Now, if you're purposely doing stuff like, no, we're just going to straight out lose, we're going to shave points, we're going to do whatever we can, I think that's taken a little far because, like you said, Vegas has – they have hundreds of millions of dollars riding on things pretty much every month. I think New Jersey even brought in close to $1 billion in online sports betting in their first month last year, or I guess last month. So, I mean, it's growing. And I can understand people being really upset when stuff like that happens. But I think if it's within the context of knowing that there's a plan in place – to draft a guy, to get a specific team together for the future, for the long term, I had no issue with it. As long as you tell your fan base and not try to trick them or hide the fact that You're not trying to win.
It just, that causes too much of an issue for you to be open and honest about it, because, you know, that can be in the head of the competitor saying, we're not going to play. You're also having a fan base that won't buy tickets because you're automatically not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, if you knew the Jets were going to throw another game after being up on top because they want to tank, would you really go to the game? Hey, David, I've got a great idea. I got us tickets at you know, a little bit of a discount. We're going to go sit in. We're going to enjoy. It's going to be cold as get out, but we'll have a nice, refreshing, frozen beer to go with it. You know, while we're wearing 6 to 10 layers outside, and you know, they're just going to tank it right at the end.
Yeah,
great game.
Not
it was very
appealing.
Exciting for the first three quarters.
Sitting on the cold, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I, as a fan, I don't want my team to ever do it. No. But I can understand why a team would do it, certainly. But again, that's only at the pro level. I think if it's college and down, you should, I mean, you should always try to win, because it's not a career. It's, you're there to win. It's college. It's not like,
oh,
longevity.
They don't get
longevity.
Anything for losing in college or high school.
No.
You get an L in your column. There is no,
true. There's no
draft
reward,
picks or anything. There's zero reward.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you should always, I think there's also more life lessons to teach kids. I guess college students are still kind of kids in a sense, but teach them at that level, especially
okay, so
in high school.
We'll change this article to go forward to tanking at the professional level. Is it okay? No, I don't think it is.
No? Okay.
I think you take away from the game. I think you're taking away from the game. I think you're taking away from the fans, even if you're opening up front about it. I mean, think about a couple of the conversations we had last year around Miami, and, you know, they were selling shirts down there that were tank tops tanking for Tua.
Yes,
they knew
were.
What was going on, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be okay with it. And heck, Fitzmagic made some stuff happen.
Yeah. I mean, I see both sides here. I guess I'm looking at the long term and follow the money, and the money's going to be there when you get that, you know, top athlete who's going
to
be your star player for 10 years.
To
ticket sales are going
to
come in.
To any major league team owners, David should be your new GM because he will tank and tell and somehow get the coach to tank just for the purpose of getting you
the
player
process.
That you want.
Philadelphia 76ers, trust the process.
No.
That was their motto for like 4 years because they kept tanking and screwing up.
No.
It happens. I'm telling you it happens in the fan base.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but
the
you
fan
ask,
base
is
okay.
Right. No.
Ah, oh, man. I got to go with it. I don't want my
team
to do it.
It depends on the fan base, dude. Cleveland's happy to lose in any sport. And they're still happy
to
have a team. But, like, look at John. John goes from, you know, supporting the Panthers to he moves to Chicago and, you know, becomes a full Chicago fan. I mean, maybe they were like a second love for him. Now it'll never be anything but. So, you know, he's not happy about all this, but I don't see him saying, yeah, we should. No, actually, he did the other day, didn't
he?
He said we should lose.
He said we should lose for a better draft pick. Yeah.
Oh,
he was mad.
Just like all of you.
See, just admit you're wrong here. It's okay. The listeners want to hear that you're wrong. That's all it takes. I'll give you till the end of the episode.
Terrible.
Give you till the end of the episode to admit it. That's all right. Along those same lines, going down south, the SEC getting some money. So last week, Disney Investor Day came out, and they have all their stuff about movies and TV shows, but part of Disney is they own ESPN. ESPN has a new deal with the SEC that starts in the 24-25 season. Currently, the Southeastern Conference gets $55 million a year from CBS for football and basketball games, which they've had since 1996. ESPN is going to pay them $330 million a year for 10 years, so a $3 billion deal for football and basketball games. So they have six times as much, roughly, per year coming in. Is this good? Is this bad? Is it just like they just got money?
Great
and
for the SEC.
They don't care?
It's great for
my
the SEC.
Gosh.
And ESPN is now financially backed by, like, one of the largest conglomerates out there. I mean, their stock alone shot through the roof with the discussion around all those new TV shows that they brought up last week in movies. And they're, frankly, Disney's even telling us, like, the future is TV. So why would they not want to blow an extra several hundred million dollars to get them the SEC, which, by the way, held a full season of football this year because they didn't back down.
Okay, so a couple things I'm having trouble with here. I don't really think they were being, you know, in a bidding war with another corporation, other media corporation, to go from $55 million to $330 million a year is a little bit of a jump. Disney probably could have done less and still secured it for 10 years. But here's one thing that's a little odd to me, and I understand Disney's purpose for doing this, but they're going to put at least one out-of-conference football game on ESPN+. So your average football fan who turns into CBS now has to turn to ESPN to watch a game. But if they want to see that out-of-conference game, they have to have an ESPN Plus package, which requires an additional streaming service you have to pay for on a monthly basis. But there's nothing saying they can't go farther on that. So in 3 years, they could put all non-conference games out on ESPN Plus. They could even start putting conference games on ESPN Plus. So you think this is Disney's way of saying, hey, ESPN, get us some more money, because you know fans are diehard and want to see their team take on another team. They're going to subscribe to ESPN Plus just to watch. They start getting that $7 a month, $8 a month from each person. Do you think that's ethical? Do you think it's just smart business? Do you think fans are going to care that they have to pay more just to see their team?
Well, of course. The average Joe is not going to want to pay anything more just to watch their team get into a game. You know, listen, I keep telling myself every year, I'm just going to get Red Zone so I can watch the Panthers, because that's about as good as it's going to get unless I pay, you know, $100 for the Sunday ticket to watch on my phone. I'm kind of flat up over that. But, you know, at the same time, I can still walk down to a bar that has the Sunday ticket, buy a $3 beer, maybe lunch if I haven't eaten yet, and I can watch the game from there. Oh, I can watch all the games from there, you know, because they will be paying for that. So do I think the average investor is going to care? Yeah. I wouldn't want to have to pay that just to watch the one game on a different contract.
No.
But, you know, maybe they'll do a deal where it's like $2 pay-per-view for this game. Who knows? Smart business. Yeah.
Oh, smart business.
Any way you can make money, go for it.
I just have a feeling these fans who are used to seeing every game on CBS are now going to be like, whoa, hold on. I don't have access all of a sudden. What do you mean? How do I have access when the SEC is getting $330 million a year? Yeah. And here's another issue that I have with this. I know the NCAA is all about NIL and players are going to start getting paid fairly soon, but players see none of this money. It's all going to schools, which should theoretically go to like training facilities, dorms, training, coaches' salaries, which is another topic all in itself, and whatever to help, I don't know, put a barbershop in, put a music studio in like University of South Carolina.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. South Carolina.
Up the ante. Back. Yeah, South Carolina still. But should the players see any of this money? Because, I mean, they're the ones earning it. Should they get a piece of this pie?
You know the answer to that. If they're going to sign the NIL, then yeah, they should get a piece of that, and they probably will. You're opening up the door for you know, the NCAA to have their way with people and things and all that stuff. I mean, it's just going to be continual growth pattern there, and anything they do, they want a piece of. They sell a piece of tennis shoe, they want a cut of it. And guess what? Yep. They get to. It's just a question of terms and arrangement. All I care about is that we get a decent version of the NCAA football game back.
You know what? I think that's what most fans probably care about in the long run, too. As long as they can see their game, they're happy. So the money stuff, we'll figure it out between all the people who will keep the money. Let's go ahead, throw the yellow flag, give our sponsor some airtime, and we'll be back with everybody for some college football playoff debate in just a moment.
Listen up, fellas. 2020 sucked. But it's almost the new year, which means a new you with our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's grooming, offering precision-engineered tools that have already helped 2 million men all over the world get rid of unwanted hair all over their body. If you let yourself go in 2020 while in quarantine, Manscaped is here for you to reboot and stay clean and shaved in 2021. There's a lot of reasons to hate 2020, but for me, at the top of that list has to be not being able to go to sporting events live in person. I can't even remember the last time I got to go to a basketball game or a baseball game, and I am so looking forward to 2021 when I'll be able to get back in the stands with my fellow fans. But before I do that, I'm going to need to get myself cleaned up. Manscaped is here to give you a fresh start in 2021 with their Perfect Package 3.0 that has all the right tools for the job. Come out of quarantine with a clean shave thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe trimmer will reduce nicks and cuts. The third generation trimmer even has a light to give you the glow up you need in 2021. It's also time to freshen up this new year. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Toner Spray. 2020 was awful, so make sure you're refreshed and ready for new beginnings in 2021. Manscaped even threw in their Shed travel bag to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. Speaking of comfort, the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs are also included and are hands down the best underwear you will ever wear. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code PODCAST20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when you use the code PODCAST20. Happy New Year from Manscaped.
Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 17 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. David and Matt are on tonight. We've had a good discussion about Florida Gators, boneheaded plays. Talked about tanking, a little debate. I say yes, Matt says no. And then SEC and ESPN striking out some money in long term for 10 years. So with the green flag back out, college football is winding down. Some bowl games have already started coming out with where teams are going. But we got the playoffs. Those top four teams, and I guess top 10 teams kind of in general, are we where we should be? Are the correct teams in place? Should there be some movements? Do the teams there deserve to be where they are? What's going on here, man? Let's just start with the top 10 overall. Do you like the top 10?
Well, why don't you go over the top 10 and we'll start there.
All right. So Alabama, staying at number one, undefeated 10-0. Notre Dame, the semi-ACC conference team at 10-0, still undefeated. Clemson at number three, 9-1, with their only loss to Notre Dame. 4, Ohio State from the Big Ten. At 5, Texas A&M, 7-1. John's Florida Gators, 8-2. Iowa State at 7, 8-2. Cincinnati coming up at number 8, undefeated at 8-0. Georgia out of the SEC at number 9, 7-2. And rounding out the top 10, Miami, 8-2 in the ACC. Granted, this will all change once College Playoff Committee puts out a new ranking in a couple days, but the information we currently have.
Actually, according to ESPN, I've got a little bit something different for you. Well, I'm sorry, that's based on week 15. Hold on, let me get to
got to get to week 16 there.
Week 16, the AP poll has Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, Texas A&M. They've been stuck at 5 for a while. Cincinnati at 6. Indiana's bumped way up the list. Iowa State at 8. Coastal Carolina's now in the top 10. I don't know if they've ever been above that. Georgia ranked number 10. Ooh, Florida bumped to 11.
Scratch what I said. I was reading week 15.
Yes,
my
you were.
Error there. I was a week off. I'm sorry. Yes.
I wondered how
go
you
with
got
your
to
top
that.
10.
Oh, all right. Gosh. So let's talk from there. Do I think that there could be some changes? I don't know that Coastal Carolina really could play against Georgia. I don't know that they could play against – they did beat BYU. I will give them that. BYU's ranked number 14 currently, and that's the only loss they have. Coastal's at number 11. Do I think they can beat Alabama? No.
No.
Do I think they could beat Cincinnati? No. I think Cincinnati's an underdog. Texas A&M?
No.
They're pretty strong. Maybe Indiana, maybe Iowa State. I think the two in front of them are potential because I'd love to see a Cinderella team, but that won't happen this year. If they would finally expand to the top 8, and do a couple rounds of playoff, I would be all about this because I think that that would be a huge playing game and them getting a chance to do something with it. Okay. Do I think that there's anything? Well, I think this comes down to Notre Dame and Clemson.
Okay.
You've got the ACC championship coming up. Notre Dame's going to get a chance to spank Clemson while having Trevor Lawrence in play.
Going
hopefully.
For them too. Okay.
I think that this is going to be a solid game. I think Notre Dame can come out on top with this one again, which would solidify their ranking at the number two spot.
Sure.
I think Cincinnati needs to be number four.
Whoa. Cincinnati? Okay.
I think that they need to be in a bid somewhere between four and five at this point. They're undefeated. They've had a solid season, even through COVID. So what's not to like about Cincinnati at this point?
So I will tell you what is not like about Cincinnati. Texas A&M. And I think they have an easier path into the top four based on what happens this coming weekend. Here's why. They play Tennessee, which is a freaking cakewalk. They're going to stomp all over Tennessee, so that's going to be an easy win for them. All that has to happen, if Alabama beats Florida, which I expect that will happen, and Notre Dame can get a second win over Clemson, I think that's going to drop Clemson out of the top four. Texas A&M jumps into the top four, along with Alabama, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. I think that's the most likely top four we're going to have after the end of the season.
I can't that fact, but, you know, again, you asked me who I think is missing. I think the Bearcats have been a solid play. Okay. I think Indiana's good, but they've already lost to Ohio State in a, you know, mm-hmm. pretty decent game, but they're really the only other competitor in the Big Ten. So, okay. And they've had a pretty solid season. So I'm not going to argue with them being the top 10, but they're just not. You know, Iowa State's a good question, but I don't think that they could beat Texas A&M. I really don't. Right. I mean, it's touchy at best. I think Texas A&M has a solid team. I just think that they're going to be – it's like you said, I think that they're going to have an easy walk-in as long as Notre Dame wins and in the ACC championship.
I hope Notre Dame wins because I don't want to see Clemson win again. Especially since this Notre Dame is like one time actually in the conference. But we mentioned one team a couple times, which doesn't really look like the rest in terms of record. Ohio State is in there. Just what I mean by that, Alabama and Notre Dame have played 10 games so far. Clemson has played 10. Texas A&M, Cincinnati have played 8. Indiana at 7. Iowa State 10. Coastal Carolina 11. Ohio State's only played 5 games. So they've played half as many as some of those teams yet. They're ranked number 3 in the AP, top 25, and number 4 in the coaches' poll. Is this just the committee saying, oh, yeah, they have the talent, but they haven't really done a whole lot this year? And then let's also go back to that Big Ten championship game, changing the rules, having to have 6 games to, it's Ohio State. Let's put it at 5 so they can still be in. Is that bad optics? Is it okay for them to do that? I mean, you and I are both Ohio State fans. We both cheer for them, so we'll put that out there in the front. What do you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the entire eclipse of this show, because previous to this, and the reason why this has been a concept isn't just because it's in the news, as a set of friends, which, by the way, missing John tonight and Mike, I was expecting some serious opposition on this. We'll see if David can really put down the hammer. This is where we've come to play, because I am the only one thus far out of the group that thinks that Ohio State should have an opportunity to play in the championship if they can win the Big Ten. And let's be honest, I don't see Northwestern giving them much flack.
I can't agree with you on that one. Northwestern doesn't stand a chance.
But here's the thing, though. As you said, they have only played 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Typically in a season, I was talking to another coach about this, you know, it takes 5 or 6 games to truly get your team, which is why they want a preseason game to get moving, but it takes 5 or 6 games to truly get your team cohesive. These guys have only had 5 games in total. The last game they were down over 20 players and still won, but they haven't played in weeks. You have your guys running around. I mean, usually when you have a bye week in the middle of the season, people are just like bored because it's an extra week of practice with nothing mm-hmm. to show for it.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of cut down some of the practice, but you still have to stay in the condition. You still have to stay in the weight room. You can't afford doing an injury, so you can't do anything super strenuous, but multiple weeks of not being able to do anything, which isn't their fault. When you have Maryland cancel, you know, no, whether they were sick or not, no big surprise there. Michigan was a trash that was totally trash. There's no way that they had that many injuries or whatever. That's Harbaugh getting to duck out.
So he doesn't have to lose again.
Ryan Day. Well, Ryan Day told him this year, I'm going to hang 100 on you. Because he shot his mouth off at Ryan Day about recruitment. So, you know, that's Harbaugh's way of getting out of it when he doesn't have a team that's been able to do anything all season either. So let's get back to the matter at hand here. Yes, you have a team that has 5 wins. Not their fault. Everybody keeps canceling around them. It's the year of COVID. What do you want?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're going to have to keep up with me here. Keep going. And it's not just because I'm an Ohio State fan. I would do this for any of the teams in the SEC except maybe Alabama and, you know, or Big 12 or anybody else.
So here's where I'm having some trouble. And, yeah, I enjoy Ohio State. I want them to win. I'm a fan of them. But at the same time, I'm like, they've played 5 games. Yes, teams have canceled on them, which they have no control over. But I'm having a little trouble with the Big Ten here. It seems like, again, it's just for money, just for TV ratings. They're like, yeah, 6 games. You know, we're going to lower that to 5 games because that's all Ohio State has to make sure that they can still have a chance to play later on. And if they win this game, which against Northwestern, yeah, they're going to win. Hopefully the committee will award them with, you know, a top 4 slot here to get to the championship. Talent-wise, yeah, they deserve to be there. They can compete with anybody on this top 25 list any Saturday. No. But I'm still having a tough time with only 5 games when you have other teams who have played 8, 9, 10, 11 games being pushed down farther. I'm having a little trouble with the Big Ten and lowering that 6-game bar to 5 games just to let one team get in. Again, TV ratings, because people want to see a big team play instead of, you know, 2 teams who nobody really cares about.
Right, but to your point, this isn't Ohio State's fault. And if the Big Ten is trying to make up for lost time, which, you know, there was a 90% chance as soon as Michigan canceled, the Big Ten was going to make a move to put Ohio State up because that's their only contender outside of Indiana. Again, Indiana's good. They're not national competition good.
Sure.
Ohio State got wrecked by, in my opinion, some bad officiating calls. I'm sure, you know, and I've talked to the Clemson fans, obviously, so that way. But, you know, in the box, it's not even the guys in the field. When the box is making calls that get players ejected for stuff that weren't even – okay, I won't get into it. You know, the hard thing is you had players and parents from Ohio State, Penn State, I believe Indiana and Michigan, all going after the Big Ten to start their season. And the Big Ten goes, you know, well, we want to protect our athlete. No, you have people ready to sign waivers. They're standing outside protesting and you won't even return phone calls. This is the Big Ten covering a mistake that they made and they won't admit to it. So who do they pull up? Do you really want to see Indiana out of the Big Ten go play? I mean, sure as crap, you don't want to see Michigan do it. Penn State's too injured. So who you want to see Indiana go try to make a run at this? Come on. They're not even a contender. They haven't been all year.
So I hear that you're saying that a Big Ten team – essentially has to be in these Final Four. Is that correct?
No, I don't think so. If you want my, again, honest opinion, there's a reason why the coaches poll and the AP poll list Ohio State as a top 4.
Mm-hmm.
Talent.
Oh, yeah. Talent-wise, definitely.
So why is this even an argument?
Because they haven't – I feel like other teams have done more. For as weird as this year is – teams that are going 8-2, 8-0 deserve that chance to be there because they've done more. They've proven more. I mean, if Ohio State's playing 10 games, I think they're most likely going to win 10 games. But they didn't have the opportunity to do it, no fault of their own. How can we not reward another team for going through a great season? Like, yeah, you get the orange ball. You get the
I tell
ball.
You what, I'll give you I tell you what, I'll give you the response to that or the answer to that. NCAA needs to get off their high and mighty chair and come down and say, well, you know, we appreciate that they've won, you know, their 5 games and they played the conference championship. We're going to put everything off for a week and we're going to make Ohio State play Texas A&M. Or, like, you just have a play-in game at this point. If that's the way that's going to be and nobody can come to a consensus on it, put number five against them, or number six, and make them do a play-in game.
I'd love that. I think the fans would love that. I think it would be a great option to have. In fact, I'd love to see a play-in game in general, but especially this year.
But, I mean, if Ohio State loses that one, I'll stay out of it. But all they're doing right now, by this dumb argument that we are all having amongst ourselves, because obviously Ohio State fans are going to say we deserve to be there. The way I look at this, the Ohio State group is being evaluated by outside resources. It's not their fault that they can't play that many games. It's the Big Ten's fault, because the Big Ten wouldn't let them play any outside. I mean, look at BYU and Coastal. They got together because Liberty had to cancel.
They got together.
BYU
in 2 days.
Says, we've had to cancel. We'll fly across and we'll play it. I mean, neither team really had a chance to. You talk about pure talent on pure talent, and coaching staff talent, because they didn't get a chance to really prepare. I mean, you wouldn't think that those two are going to do it. So you have like 2 days to really sit down and watch the rest of your game tape and put that in. Good, great, grand, wonderful. Big Ten doesn't allow this year for anybody to play outside the conference. So what do? Because again, who else is there? Do you have them play Indiana again in the Big Ten Conference? Well, that kind of kills Northwestern.
And I think they should play Michigan. I think they should just reschedule Michigan, play the game like it should be, instead of Michigan backing out because Jim Harbaugh doesn't want to stay undefeated still because he knows he can't beat them.
Okay, but even in that ruling, that doesn't give any kind of showing to what people are complaining about. If you guys are really only worried about one win – put them up against Rutgers again. Put them up against, Division II school. Who cares? If you guys are actually complaining and want to see Ohio State get a play-in, then put them up against a contender. Tell the Big Ten that their choice is either to put them up against a Big Ten or put them up against a SEC contender, Florida, Texas A&M. I'm not going to say LSU. I think that would have been a great matchup last year. This year it would be kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But, you guys can't have both. And you're, in my opinion, if you're worried about one win, you're screwing over the athletes that came back, forced themselves to be in it, to play, to do their thing because they're rated so highly. It's not the athletes' fault.
So when you flip it, though, look on the other side, like Texas A&M, it's not their fault that they play more games. And it's another opinion there. So granted, I want Ohio State to do well. I'm still just struggling on the objective part of this of other teams have done just as well. They played a lot more games and have a lot more of a season to show for it. Talent-wise, though, yeah, Ohio State should be there. Talent-wise.
All right, but Texas A&M – If we're going to stick to Texas A&M, Texas A&M got smacked by Alabama. Top to bottom, smacked. Double the score. They barely beat Florida. Florida, out of a boneheaded move, lost to LSU, but not by much. So those two are tight contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said, have Ohio State play one of the lower SEC games if you want.
I'd love it.
If that's what you're worried about, then the NCAA needs to get off their butt, come in and make a different rule, same as Big Ten had to keep them in. This is just dumb. In my opinion, this argument is lacking source. I appreciate what you're telling me about these other bigger teams that have done more of the season, but the problem here is the Big Ten heads of state made a huge mistake. And because of that, it's costing their one contender. I'll stick by that.
I can agree. They made a mistake right there by limiting what games can be played. I'll go with that. And I'll say one more thing. Follow the money. You want the TV ratings. You want the big names in there. You want something that people are going to tune in and watch. You put the big games in. TV ratings go up. Everybody's happy. Sponsors are happy. Follow the money.
Well, let's be honest. Based on this rating, the way this is going to go, Ohio State should be playing Alabama right out of the gate. And honestly, that may be the game to watch this year.
I would say that would be better than the championship game if that's the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I think that's going to be much more competitive than Clemson Notre Dame. But that also, and both the Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl are going to be great. I mean, if those two teams end up staying where they are and playing each other, That's going to be a phenomenal game to
okay.
watch.
How about a different top, a different question around this? If Clemson beats Notre Dame,
I think Clemson should be out of the top four.
No. If Clemson
Oh,
beats
I'm sorry.
Notre Dame,
Never mind. Okay.
Clemson beats Notre Dame. Okay, they're both even walking into this. What number do you rank both of them?
Oh gosh, I'm going to say Clemson would probably be a little bit higher because they're at full strength. You know, Notre Dame, they won, but they barely won last time. Only cause Trevor Lawrence was out. I mean, they
weren't at full strength. You're assuming.
I'm assuming, but they barely beat Clemson. I think if Clemson has a nice solid win of at least a touchdown or more in regulation without overtime, I'm putting Clemson back over Notre Dame.
Well, you know they're not. You know they're not getting the number one spot.
No, Alabama's going to beat Florida. They've got that secured. No worries there.
Okay, so if that's the case, you're saying Clemson should be ranked higher.
They should be two.
Okay, so if Clemson's ranked number two, what do you rank Notre Dame? Three or four?
Man, probably three.
So you want to see Notre Dame and Clemson play for a third time?
I would not mind it, actually. It's been the first one was really good. Any chance that Clemson could lose to an ACC team, even though Notre Dame's semi-ACC when it comes to football, or this season at least, yeah, I'd take it. But at the same time, Clemson versus Alabama would be good. I mean, we've got a rematch of a couple national championship games. Clemson and Ohio State would be good at the same time. If they're
well, you said
three.
Clemson's going to be ranked number two. I'm taking Ohio State out of this for the moment. Clemson would be ranked number two. Do you put Notre Dame at three or four?
Gosh, it depends who the fourth one is. Who's my other team I'm putting in there so I can slot them correctly?
You can pick between Ohio State or Texas A&M. I don't care because those are the two that are going to have the best shot at making that list.
I think most likely they're going to stick at three. In that case, so I think we're going to see another Clemson Notre Dame for round three.
Oh, drive me nuts. I mean, that's all assuming that Notre Dame gets beat this round.
Which then puts it at a tie, so you got to see who's going to come out ahead since it'll be 1-1. So
that's
much to be
two
decided.
Out of three, but still, that's, you know, that's kind of painful because now you've got, you know, you've got both teams on edge, and, you know, if there haven't been fights in the first two games, there will be in this one.
Yeah. Completely agree with that.
Ejections.
And this Saturday is going to be good with conference championships on the line. I think even the first set of bowl games start fairly soon within the next week or so. And then after this Saturday, we should have all the bowl games announced. And then we'll see who's slotted where. And
considering I would love to see a Cincinnati and Coastal matchup.
That would be good.
I would love to see that one.
You know what? I will pull for Cincinnati because I can never pull for Coastal. Beat Coastal. It's the motto of Liberty. So I'm sad BYU did not beat them. But anybody who's playing Coastal, beat Coastal.
But what a finish to their game. That was probably one of the best games you'll see all year.
It was
if not
solid.
Over the next couple.
Solid. Stopped it on the 1 yard line. Yeah, that was great defensive stand by Coastal Carolina.
Question is, could Liberty have beat them with that kind of setting?
I think so. Liberty has their number. I mean, they were foes back in the FCS. We were both the Big South. Coastal Carolina left for the Sun Belt. Liberty's now independent, and this was a renewed matchup with all the crazy scheduling. And it was great to see. I'm sad it didn't happen.
Agreed. All right, let's end that one. I think we should bring John and Mike in on the next setting somewhere, and we can have that argument all over.
We'll relive it again. So checkered flag is out. Final thoughts through the night.
Final thoughts, you've already said it. There's a lot of great games coming up. There's a lot of contention coming up, and how's the NCAA going to push this out? There's, you know, Christmas is coming up, so there's a lot of neat things that are rolling through this week. We're looking to go do the lights at the local zoo here and hope to get some good memories out of that. And then hopefully get to see you next week.
Man, it's crazy to think Christmas is actually next week. There's so
right?
much to do between now and then. Oh my
Just
gosh.
Remember back in March, they told us 2 to 4 weeks.
Hey, I'm still waiting on that 2 to 4 week period. They just didn't tell us which one it is. That's the only problem. They didn't say it's this next 2 to 4 weeks.
8 months later, we're still waiting.
Yeah, crazy thing. Christmas is actually next week. Lots of good stuff in the sports calendar in the next coming week. I'm excited to watch. With work being busy, I don't know how much I'll be able to see, but I'm sure I'll be tuning into a few things between now and then. So, yeah. Lastly, check out our sponsor, Manscaped. Great products. 20% off using our code podcast20. We'll go ahead.
On top of whatever they have going on the website currently.
And free shipping. So save some money, get some Christmas presents. Get a present for yourself, your friends. They'll love it.
Make sure you crop it up, boys. Crop it up.
And we're going to call it a night on that. Oh, my gosh. We're going to call it a night. Thanks for tuning in for Season 3, Episode 17.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at Sports Garage Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.